Welcome to today's edition of the Exploring Mining Podcast, featuring stock news from TSX, TSXV, CSE, ASX, NASDAQ, and New York Stock Exchange mining companies, plus interviews with CEOs and leading experts.
Good morning and welcome to a special edition of the Exploring Mining Podcast. Today we have an exciting panel for you on the Golden Triangle. Today I'm speaking with Thomas Perilla, President of Perilla Investment Group, Roger Rosmus, Founder and CEO and Director of Goliath Resources, trading on the TSX Venture under GOT, and Dan Stewart, President, Director, and CEO of Juggernaut Exploration, trading on the TSX Venture under JUGR. In this episode, Thomas and I both speak to Dan and Roger about the history and opportunities in the Golden Triangle in BC. We cover the latest drill results from their projects, burn rate, plans for their continued drill program this spring, and the potential of the area down the road. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence, and please read all disclaimers and disclosures at the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the Exploring Mining Podcast. For investors that have not followed your companies or maybe new to the space, we'll just start maybe with Tom, if you want to go and give a little brief background of your history in mining, and then we can go to Roger and Dan.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, guys. Nice to be with you today. My history, I guess, goes back 1994. I started on Wall Street with Morgan Stanley. I was a Series 24 principal for 22 years. Came back here with National City Bank in Erie. And after that, after probably looking at about maybe 200 mines, I bought two mines down in New Mexico, down in Grant County. And that's what I do for a living now. I enjoy researching mining companies and I enjoy the mining sector. And I got into it mainly because I saw what was happening with the U.S. government, with our spending just being out of control. And I think we haven't even touched base yet where we're heading as far as the dollar goes, but we're heading for a train wreck, and the mining sector is just going to be the sector to be. It makes financial sense to, for people to start to rotate into it. So that's what attracted me to it, and that's how I got into it.
Sure. Yeah. Essentially, quickly, by way of background, I guess entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur all my life, and moved from Calgary up to Toronto, I guess, back in 87-ish, I guess 87, 88, I think it was 87. Got involved doing mergers, acquisitions, investment banking, and so on, and essentially rolled that into an exempt market dealer. So I had an actual business there, Aberdeen Gould Capital Markets in Toronto, for over 20 plus years as an LMD, and then rolling into an exempt market dealer. So a lot of financings, being in Canada, obviously lots of resource companies. So just by default, I did a lot of deals for mining companies. And a gentleman actually that Dan introduced me to, we financed him over a decade or more, showed me a package of rocks back in, I guess it was 2016 or so. And basically looked up them. They looked pretty exciting. The grades looked pretty incredible. And so I thought, hey, this may be an opportunity to make a mark in the Golden Triangle, of possibly finding the next large gold discovery in that camp. And hence, Goliath Resources was born in 2017 in February and went public in October of 2017.
Dan, the floor is yours now.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Today, yeah, great day. Appreciate being on your show here today. It's always a good thing to be able to tell a great story. So, just a quick bit of background on myself. I started working in the stock market at Yorkton Securities. I was 19 years old. I was Frank Giuster's messenger. I was running stock certificates all around Vancouver. So they had messengers back then. There may be a few of them left today, but I was 5 months onto the job and I got stuck with $250 million in a briefcase. The elevator broke down. And I was 595 Pacific, at the Pacific Corporate Trust Building, 595 House Street. And I had all of all of Frank and Greg Seaton, Bill Ram, Brian Negra. I had all of these guys' Diamond Field stock certificates. And the stock had gone from 10 cents to $147 a share. Split 2-for-1 and ran back to that. The discovery was Voisey Bay. They wrote a book about it, The Big Score, which is kind of a junior mining investor Bible today, really one of the must reads if you're going to come into this space. So the elevator breaks down. I'm stuck with all this money in a bag. I had no idea what I had in the bag that much, but regardless, the fire department came, winched me out. I got the bag there on time. They've been escrowed for 2 years, but at that moment in the elevator, I did the math and I realized that there's no business like this business where two people or one person can go out with $100,000, stake one claim, drill a hole in the ground, and the chance to be a billionaire exists. Now, the odds of that happening are slim, but there's really no entry into the business, right? You can have a lot of drive and determination. So worked my way up into being a broker and then left December 1st, 2009 from Canaccord. And I started working with Roger at Aberdeen Gould. I'd have all these geologists come into my office and they tell you these romantic stories that there's gold somewhere in the world, and they're good at telling romantic stories, right? So we would, you know, you'd fund these guys, and then next thing you know, their stock's gone from 30 cents or 20 cents to $2 or $3 or $7. And I realized that I had the passion for discovery, and then I saw that maybe it was time to leave being a broker and more run a public company. So as Roger said, you know, there's a gentleman by the name of Bill. He had an idea to ground truth a package of rocks in northwestern British Columbia. It's called the Stikina Terrane Hazelton Volcanics. It is mapped in the top 5 to 10 packages of rocks left underexplored by senior miners in the world today. Still left there, right? So the projects that Juggernaut has, we wouldn't have had them 10, 15, 20 years ago because they were covered in permanent snowpack and ice. And due to glacial recession, the abatement of permanent snowpack, we're able to get into areas that some of our geologists tell us haven't been exposed for over 20,000 years. So it's really a once-in-a-lifetime event, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that investors just happen to be lucky enough to be alive today to experience this, that this package of rocks is available and is being ground truthed. We're one of the companies doing it, and we're excited. Thanks.
I love that. That ties in well to the first question. Obviously, we're here to talk about the Golden Triangle, and there's quite a vast, exciting history there. I mean, I'm Vancouver-based, so Murray Pesum's kind of a legend name here. And quite some amazing drill holes that they had, obviously quite different back in the 80s and 90s, that the hydro and highway access was not quite the same, and gold was around 300, so a little different of a story now. So I just wanted to get a little bit from all of you of why you picked the Golden Triangle, some of the history and mineralization that you know there, and then talk a little bit about your properties, and maybe Tom at the end, if you want to say why, you know, you found it so interesting and why you are looking at the Golden Triangle as well.
All right. So, you know, as Dan mentioned, as well as myself, you know, it was really this private syndicate that was put together, and just knowing the mining space, knowing how, say, underexplored that the triangle is, there's, you know, great opportunities, certainly, again, with the snowpack is no longer there, permanent snowpack's no longer there, and the glaciers are receding at a pretty incredible rate. And, you know, world-class geological setting, you know, other thing that is key, it's the jurisdiction. It's a tier one jurisdiction, just by, you know, as an example, the Newmont acquisition of Newcrest, and Now, the Golden Triangle is part of their core strategy on a go-forward basis. So, you know, we're in the right area code. You know, as of today, I saw the news, Ascot, just to the north of us, you know, pouring their first doré bar. So again, just sort of ticking the box that, you know, it is amenable to mining and a jurisdiction that all the senior miners, I think, really want to be or are looking at to making a, you know, a substantial investment. And certainly, you know, Newmont already has, and you've got, you know, Hecla in there and, you know, a few other folks. But it's a prime for M&A at some particular point here. Obviously, gold seeing all-time highs here. These seniors should be making a lot of money here at these prices, and hopefully at some point, you know, we can see that trickle-down effect to the mid-tiers and then down to the junior explorers such as ourselves and or, you know, possible takeout scenarios.
Yeah. You know, I look at it, we're like Christopher Columbus, and, you know, everybody says the world's flat. And we go and we prove that it's round. It is really what, you know, this group tries to do. So there's the Northwestern BC, the Hazelton Volcanics is known to have some of the world's largest gold, silver, and copper deposits on the planet. They're drilled off. They're sitting there. So we're already in elephant territory. And if you're going to go get an elephant, you don't go to Antarctica to catch an elephant. You get a penguin there. So you go to where elephants have been caught before, and that's Northwestern BC. So we're elephant hunting in elephant territory. And with the abatement of the snowpack and the glaciers receding, what's really neat is a lot of these deposits, the majority of them, have infrastructure built to them. So there's roads, there's power, there's deep sea ports. There's airports, there's helicopter ports, there's hotels, there's motels, there's Boston Pizza, there's Starbucks, there's movie theaters, you name it, close by. I know, because I've been to them, and you can drive to the property. You're on one of our properties in 15 minutes with a coffee still scalding hot in your hand. So, you know, what's really unique is that there's multiple things, but the one that really sticks out in my mind right now is that you've got all this infrastructure. And this, whatever you want to call it, there's quite a bit of debate in the scientific community and often in times in my own head about climate change or, you know, what's really happening with the climate. Is it happening? Is it natural? Is it man-made? Regardless, these known deposits that have all this infrastructure, we're adjacent to them or right by them. Now, these were ones that were discovered in the 80s and the 90s that have all this infrastructure. And we've really gone in there and got that fine cherry tomato that's right beside these guys. So we've already got the layup. It's like basketball. I mean, you're running up. There's the backboard. You just got to hit the white square and put it in. So that's really, you know, we targeted the projects to be like that. And fortunately enough, we've had huge success through the drill bit. I consider ourselves to be fortunate. Everybody was off running doing marijuana stocks in 2016. You know, they're changing their name from dot gold or exploration to dot marijuana, dot Bitcoin. And we just kind of stayed the course, stayed good, stayed true to what we're good at, stayed focused, laser focused, and went and generated these projects that make up these companies today. So I think fortunate, lucky, and maybe a teensy bit of foresight. That was really paved. That road was really paved by the people that made the discoveries before us. So lucky to be here.
Great.
Tom, do you want to add why you found the Golden Triangle so interesting and why you're here from the
investors? Pretty much just what both Roger and Dan said. I mean, I think it may be it's just a vast land up there, and it may be the most underdeveloped mineralization left on Earth. And I think it's going to be huge. I can't tell any names, but I can tell you I'm getting calls almost weekly right now from investment banks, and almost all of them are out of Europe, which is interesting to me, asking me questions about the companies in the Golden Triangle. And I know what they're doing because I've been on that side of the ball. I mean, they're lining their ducks up right now, and they're doing all their due diligence. and they're looking at the companies and trying to say, okay, when we're ready to pull the trigger, who do we want? You know, and they're putting their list together. So I guess one question I have for both Roger and Dan, you mentioned potential, takeouts. What kind of evaluation, so a shareholder would have an idea, if someone was going to step in and start buying companies in the Golden Triangle, what kind of valuations are you looking at? Is it just a guess at this point?
As an actual takeout of the entire entity?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, Dan and I, we talk about the Quinton Henning analogy. He did a nice piece a couple months ago about sort of good times, bad times, and so on. And he came out with which I think is realistic. And I think, Dan, I think you can speak for you as well, because I know we've talked about this. So take NAV, sort of around 22% of NAV of, what's the gold, how many ounces in the ground at whatever gold price, and take 20 to 22% of that. And I think in my mind that to me would be a reasonable number as a takeout. So
you're talking billions, not hundreds of millions.
Correct. You look at, Great Bear, I think at the time, well, they got taken up for what, 1.8 billion Canadian. And I think they kind of guesstimated or back of the envelope kind of around, I think it was like 3 to 4 million, Dan, was that the number? So you kind of do the metrics on that, and that kind of, lines up quite nicely. So for, like, as an example, for Goliath or Juggernaut, we come out with, at the end of the day, 3 to 10 million ounces potential gold equivalent. That's, we're trading at peanuts here. So, there's lots of torque here in our stock. And obviously we're a little more advanced than Dan is with the Bingo property in the Triangle, but bottom line is their first drill hole was better than our first drill hole back in 2021 on our maiden drill program. So I think the Jugger's got quite a bit of torque as well. So, Goliath was trading at kind of around 10 cents or so, sort of like, I think it was like a $10 million market cap. And, Quinton Henning, Crescat Capital boys came in and saw, the opportunity. And our stock went to, $1.70, $1.74, I think it was back in 2021 on the first drill program. So, anything's possible. As Dan said, you can take 100 grand and turn it into billions overnight. So that's why we're here. We're here for the hunt.
Could both of you talk a little bit about your burn rate, your cash burn rate? The money that you've raised recently, does that get you through the entire drill season, or will you need to go back and raise some cash?
Dan, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. First, I just want to thank Roger for his kind words. He has a phenomenal discovery. I'm fortunate to be involved in it. I think it's one of the largest gold, silver discoveries, original discovery from absolute scratch. Nothing was ever staked there, from a claim being staked to where he is today. It's actually, I've been doing this for 29 years. I've never seen a project come up the ladder that fast in 29 years. Now, I don't know everything. I know a few things. I don't know everything, and I'm just one guy. So take that with a grain of salt, but I've been around a little while. It looks like we are onto something similar. We'll see what happens there. Tom, what was your question again? I was dreaming about all my dollars I had with Goliath.
I was curious about the burn rate. Did you have enough funds in place now to make it through the entire drill season?
Perfect. I was thinking about all the Goliath and how wonderful things are over there. So our burn rate for Juggernaut is just over $400,000 Canadian a year, which is quite low. Now, there's a burn rate to run the company, light bulb money, and then there's a burn rate for exploration. So we run the company, the corporate side of the business, for just over 400 grand a year, right? There's two salaried employees or consultants, you would say, myself and our CFO, William Jung. So as I put it, we're a lean, mean TSX fighting machine, right? We want to put the money in the ground. Now, we are not fully funded for our drill program. this summer, and we're going to capitalize the company in the tune of $3 million to go out and to drill 2,500 meters on Bingo, which is being billed by Crescat, Quinton in his comments publicly, as a kind of a geo to Goliath 2.0. And then we'll go and we'll drill 2,500 meters on our Midas property, which you can drive to in 15 minutes from Terrace. And that's being billed as, Marie Pesum's discovery of Eskay Creek, which went from 60 cents to $64 in 4 months. So we really got two horses going down the track that could really deliver home runs. And we've got a market cap of $10 million. You've seen the price of gold and commodities rise, but you really haven't seen that translate yet into the explorer. So I think there's a huge value opportunity in these explorers that have a proven track record of discovery, that run their companies correctly, and that are putting the majority of their funds in the ground, delivering discovery for the shareholders, right? We're also fortunate to have Pierre Vaillancourt cover us from Haywood Securities. Very glad to have their shoulder to sit down with Pierre, very coveted mining analyst. Took a lot of time with myself and our geologists at PDAC, and blessed to have Crescat and Quinton involved. We wouldn't be here today without them. And they recently just purchased 19.97% of Juggernaut. So we're going to do our best to knock the ball over the fence for them this summer.
We're well-funded. We did a follow-on raise in late last year for about $3 million. We got Rob McEwen. He increased his position up to 5%. And then obviously a notable shareholder is Eric Sprott. So we got obviously some pretty, well-respected shareholders, large shareholders in the company, which is super. So I'm glad we did the raise late last year. Obviously got Rob in for a higher stake of the company. So we're sitting very well with a good chunk of dough. We can essentially start off a decent size drill program this year. And depending on, what we're seeing, we would increase the drill program based on similar to what we did last year. We started out with an 18,000 meter drill program. We ended up drilling over 35,000 meters, obviously we had to do a raise later on in the year. So, really depends how things go, but based on the work we've been doing off season here in the background with all the analysis and all the professional folks that we've engaged, we think we're going to be hitting it out of the park this year again. Again, we pretty much hit on every hole we've drilled.
Can you both, Roger and Dan, can you talk about some of your average grades that you've seen for some of your drill results on both your properties? And is there some comparisons, some differences in the mineralization? And
at the Sherbet discovery, and to your question, Kelly, the best hole we had was a 513 gram meter hole at the Sherbet. So it's
wow.
Yeah. And, as a comparison, we've only spent, because of the seasons are quite short. We've been there 3 years, but really in an aggregate, we've only spent a year versus, you look at some of these companies like Great Bear and Newfound Gold who have, I don't know if they can drill year round, but I'm sure they can drill at least 2/3 of the year. And based on our drilling that we've done today and where they were back in the day, they were trading at a $300 million plus market cap, right?
Hey, Roger, you mentioned Crescat, Sprott, McEwen. Yes. Do they come in? Is it strictly a financial transaction, or do they bring technical expertise to you as well?
Yeah, no. It certainly Quinton is very involved. Depending on what's going on in the program, but if we need him, he's there. The guy, I don't think he ever sleeps. You can call him on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Friday evening and he'll pick up the call. We know he's busy. So we were very selective on when we ask him to get his input in. as well. You know, we tapped into his Rolodex to, you know, get the right people involved that can help us move this project forward. And again, what Dan had mentioned, this thing has happened so quickly. It's gone up the curve so fast. And, you know, I think a lot of people are just kind of shaking their heads, and we just want to make sure we have the right people looking at our information and, you know, helping us interpret, and that we can, you know, maximize every dollar that, you know, we put into the ground. So just on that 513 gram meter hole gold equivalent, it was like a 65 grams per ton gold equivalent over just about 8 meters. And that was mostly kind of 90% was gold, a little bit of silver. We do have some copper, a little bit of lead, a little bit of zinc. And while I'm on that topic, we have done some early met work where we're getting a 92.2% recovery of the gold at a 327 micron crush. So what does that mean? It's very coarse grade material. So in a operational scenario, we'd be using a lot of power. And what's really interesting is the fact that you can get almost out of that 92.2%, there's roughly 49% of that is free gold from gravity alone. So just think about that. I mean, that is the cheapest form of pouring doré. It's just some gravity and pops out the bottom, and you're good to go, right?
That all sounds fantastic. I mean, I know you can't dictate how the weather is, but do you guys have potential start dates for your drill season?
Yes. We're going to be in there, probably mobilize in May at some point, start building pads in June, and then hopefully drilling, end of June, first week of July kind of thing. Dan, I'm not sure where...
Yeah, we're under that same, we're next door to Goliath on, pretty much next door to Goliath on both of its projects that'll be exploring this year. So we can, you know, share the drills, and we'll be starting roughly at the same time. It's a good setup, right? And, you know, you saw Newcrest purchase Pretium for $2.8 billion U.S., and I watched Pretium go from 10 cents to almost $17 a share, where that takeout price was. I think that's where Roger's going. My opinion's biased. And, you know, we look to be a repetition of his geology next door. So fingers crossed, right?
Dan, can you talk to us about some of your drill results that you've had as well? And then just a little bit about your property.
Yeah, well, on Bingo, we're seeing similar widths and similar grades. You know, we don't have as many drill holes into it as Roger does on our Bingo property, but we're right where the Hazelton volcanics meet the Hazelton sediments. It seems to be on this contact is what is controlling the mineralization. You can trace our mineralization at surface, like you can at Sherbet, where you can just walk along it and stick it out of the ground for close to a kilometer. So we poked four holes into that. Every hole hit, and they hit, you know, excellent grades. I would say our best is, and I'm going to recollect here, 3 meters. Actually, I'm going to cheat here for a second. 13 grams gold, 35 grams silver, and 5% copper. And that is within an interval of 5 meters of 7.5 grams per ton gold, 20 grams silver, and 3% copper. So we've got this very high copper grade and high gold grade. These are all at surface. So this year it'll be really straightforward. We'll just build pads along it, stick to drilling, and drill something you see at surface and target it at depth. So, you know, last year it worked, and we think we've got this thing figured out.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
So I always like asking this question for mining companies. Obviously, 2023 was a bit of a difficult year for everyone. What were some of the challenges, and what were your best lessons learned, and what are you guys looking forward to most for 2024? I'll leave it for both of you to answer.
Again, we've been blessed with these assets, brand new discoveries. Raising money has never been a problem for us. We're one of the fortunate ones, or not the ones, but you know, there's a few companies out there, but this is a world-class discovery at Goliath. And again, raising money has never been a problem. We started out to do 18,000 meters, ended up doing over 35,000 meters. We were able to get the drills. We were able to get the people to operate the drills and so on. And, I think that the benefit is that the team is the same team going year in, year out. And it's not like we're hiring new contractors every year. So no one needs a week or a month or a couple of weeks to get up to speed. As soon as they show up to the site, they know exactly. They know the mountain. They know the terrain. And I think that makes us very efficient, very cost effective. As an example, our all-in meter cost last year was $380 per meter. For a helicopter system, that is it's really, really good. Like most of these guys are like six and way higher than that. So, and the fact is we do have the town of Kitsault that houses up to 300 people. You can drive to it. All of the people in the industry, like the drillers, engineers, all that are, looking for jobs, they want to come work for us because it's like a kind of like a Four Seasons, five-star hotel. You got a hot shower, you got your own bed, you've got great cooks there and great food, and they work long days, and they really preach that kind of stuff. But I'd say for the most part, our secret sauce is it's the same people year after year, and that's the same with Juggernaut as well. So,
no, I think. Yeah. You never miss with your drill bit, so I don't think you'd miss in this video interview either, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen a drill program that's gone, 100% hit rate or 98, whatever it is. He's put a lot of holes in the ground. Lessons learned. And adding kind of to what Roger said from 2023, be aggressive in exploration and work hard. So, we had just to kind of grab that scenario for a second, we've got this Project Bingo that's right beside Sherbet, this phenomenal discovery that Goliath has. Ours is sticking out of the ground. It's got great grades. We were going to just channel cut it at surface, which is a rock saw. It's basically a little horizontal drill hole at surface along the extent of this showing. That's what we were going to do in 2023. Because Goliath is there, and we're fortunate that Goliath is there, the drill was right next door. So we popped the drill over and we made the decision to drill it and not channel cut it, which fast-tracked the project up the ladder by one exploration season. It was a bit of a risk to drill it, but we already had that knowledge next door from Goliath, and we drilled it and we hit on every hole. We nailed it. New discovery. Bang. Just like that. So to be aggressive and to work hard, I think are the two lessons from 2023. A lot of companies are pulling in their horns or they can't get capitalized for whatever reason. And we've been fortunate. We've been able to fund ourselves in a difficult market. And we've been able to make world-class discoveries for an explorer in a difficult market. So look for that trend to continue here in 2024.
I love that. Tom, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think the Golden Triangle, in my opinion, it's going to be the hottest sector within the hottest sector. As we go through the year, sometime between July and September, I think the Fed will start to finally cut some rates. And as they do, I think the mining sector and the gold and silver market is just going to explode. And within that, I think the Golden Triangle is just going to take off. I mean, you've got 46 public companies up there. And to me, the part that is interesting to me, I compare this like 1994, 1995. My first day on Wall Street was 1994. I showed up with two suits, five white shirts, and five ties, and $300 in my pocket. And that's how I started. And I can remember Morgan Stanley had a bank trust then, a closed-end bank trust, and we had just moved from community banking to statewide banking and then national banking. And it turned into a feeding frenzy, one acquisition after another. And it was just printing money. And I think that's what's coming to the Golden Triangle. It's just going to be one acquisition after another. Once the first one goes off, you're going to see the valuations on the rest of the companies jump overnight. And then it's just going to be one after another. And I know we make a lot of sports analogies on this show, I think. But, if you think about the NFL draft, that's what a team does. That's why I'm getting calls from these money management groups out of Europe. they start to look at it right now and they say, okay, we need to draft a running back. And they say, okay, here's the top four that we looked at. And they say, okay, who's going to be there and what are we going to pay for? And it's the same thing in mining. These companies are calling me right now and they're doing their due diligence and they're getting ready and they've got their finger on the trigger. And once they pull it, then all of a sudden the next day, everything changes up there and everyone says, whoa, the golden triangle. How did I miss that? Guys like Trescat that got in early, boy, my hat's off to those guys. Yeah, I barely know them. I've only spoken to them once or twice, but they made a bold move. I mean, they went in early. And in investing, that's the way to go. You're always better to go in early than late. And they went in, they're buying up choice properties, and they're buying up the best. And I think if you get out 5 years from now, Crescat's going to be a household name. They're going to make just an unbelievable amount of money. And I believe in the commodities area, if you look out 5-10 years, the way we talk about Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg, I think you're going to be talking about guys like Sprott, McEwen, the Australians. There's going to be absolute staggering levels of wealth created in the next 5-10 years in commodities. And I think the golden triangle, I love what Goliath is doing, what Juggernaut is doing. I just love it. I think they're going to be right at the heart of it. And I guess in my mind, the only question is how high the valuation is when they get taken out, because I firmly believe the bulk of the really good companies there are all going to get bought out and then taken into production. So I think it's going to be an exciting year. The drill season is going to be very exciting. And I think between this year, next year, I think you're going to see a lot of money made in that sector.
What would you say to investors with everything going on? Like, why get into gold? I mean, obviously the price point, but it just doesn't seem to be translating the same as we'd like to see in the junior space yet.
You know, it's a simple answer. Just look at the United States debt. Unless they figure out a way to make the debt disappear tomorrow, keep buying gold and silver. It's that simple. You don't have to be a genius. You just look at it and say, how much weight can the U.S. dollar take on top of it? And we're not slowing down. I mean, about every 90 to 100 days, we're tacking another $1 trillion of debt on. The dollar will not hold up to it. It can't. Over time, every fiat currency throughout history has failed. This one will as well. People make a mistake. They think when that happens, it might be the end of the West, you know, Canada, the United States. And they have no idea. Free people will always beat slaves. So the United States, Canada will be absolutely fine. We're just going to switch to a better system, one that is backed by a commodity, a basket of commodities with gold as the anchor. That's coming, I have no doubt in my mind, at some point. But I think in the short term, once the Fed begins to cut, when they pivot, I firmly suspect right now the U.S. dollar index is 105.96. I firmly believe it's going to head down into the 90 area. And then over the next 3 to 5 years after that, I think down into the 70 area. And somewhere in the middle of that, then I think the discussions will start to happen. It's time to go to a different currency, go back to 1971 when we went off the gold standard. And I think that's where we're heading. Right now, gold's down pretty big today, but I warn everybody, if you want to lose money, be a day trader in the commodities market. That's easy. You're going to just give it away. You've got to have a long-term aspect. And today, I guess people woke up this morning and found out the Arabs and Jews have decided to have peace on Earth. In a matter of 24 hours, they're all going to come together and be one big family. And that's crazy. I mean, I think they just used an excuse today to take some profits off the table. But the thing to really focus on is the debt. The United States debt sitting on top of the dollar cannot last forever. And true currency, you're looking at gold and silver. And that's going to drive people to that sector. And that's why it's going to be such a hot sector. And then they're going to look inside of it and they're going to see the exploration companies and what they're doing up in the golden triangle. And they're going to discover it. I guarantee it, the bulk of the people out there do not know that the golden triangle exists. They might think it's part of Thailand. They have no idea what's up there. And when they start to see the mineralization and the drill results, that's what they want to see. Because you can talk to a million mine owners and they all have the greatest thing that ever happened. They hit the mother lode. But what you really want to see are the drill results, because that's in black and white, the geological tests. And both Juggernaut and Goliath are doing that. And that's the part that I like about it. Hard work works. It always does. As long as you put the work in, you put the time in, the shareholders are going to come and find you and they're going to reward you. And I think it's going to be just an absolutely huge 2024 up there. And I think if you look at the next 3 to 5 years, it's just going to be, one acquisition after another up there. So prospects are great.
I love it. Roger and Dan, do you want to add any of what you see going on the world stage and for gold, and what you want to say to investors out there?
I'd say Tom's covered it all. Like, it's, you know, we're here for a reason. We're working hard. We want to, you know, make our shareholders a lot of money, and we'll continue to do so until that that magic event happens down the road. So we'll just keep on drilling and proving to folks how big these discoveries are.
Yeah, I think Roger had a good segue there, and I think Tom covered a lot of it too as well. Gold's really cornered. Inflation stays. Gold's going to go higher. Rates get cut. U.S. dollar goes lower. Gold's going to go higher. Geopolitical risk around the world right now, gold's going to go higher. So I think that kind of, you know, boxes gold in. But one thing I would like to end with, at least for me, is a rock. What would I talk about rocks be without actually visually seeing a rock? And this was a tombstone that was given to me. This is a piece of Voisey Bay that was bought for $4.3 billion in 1995. And BMO, Nesbitt Burns, brokered the deal. And it was Diamond Fields. That was the name of the company. They were looking for diamonds, and they wound up finding one of the world's largest nickel deposits in Newfoundland in Canada. So this is a chunk of the rock that was given to me, and this is related to the $250 million that was stuck in an elevator with when I was 19. So, you know, dreams come through, discoveries happen, and stocks in this space can have parabolic runs. Huge returns for investors, high torque returns. And this is living proof of that. So get ready. Should be an exciting season.
Keep investors wanting more. Maybe we can get you guys on the show again. What can we expect to see from Juggernaut and Goliath? Are you guys at any conferences coming up? Tell everyone where they can reach out to you, and maybe just briefly mention your last press release as well.
Yeah, well, I'll start this time, Roger. So our next conference is going to be in the field, and that's going to be with the drill team and the exploration team. That's the conference we're really all waiting for. It's time to get to work and get these discoveries moving forward. Our last press release was April 9th, and I implore investors to go read that. Crescat Capital purchased 19.97% of Juggernaut. Quinton Henny states in that press release that we've made a significant discovery, and he believes it has the potential to be Goliath 2.0. We've got a $10 million market cap. Goliath has a $100 million market cap. So we're a very high torque opportunity. Quinton is also in love with our Midas property, where we've had good gold intercepts, and he believes we're onto another Eskay Creek, which was the world's richest gold mine for 10 years. It operated here in BC. It was one of the most storied discoveries in the history of the Golden Triangle. Looks like we could have found another one laying at surface. So look forward to us getting the drill bit turning here shortly and some moving some discoveries forward, and then hopefully making Tom look like a smarter guy than he already is.
I own two beagles. I already look smart.
Yeah, so our last news release, it was 15th of April. We announced acquiring 49% of the property. This is the Gold Digger property that the Surebet sits on. What that allows us is to, from the original option agreement to the amended option agreement, that gives the opportunity to put more money in the ground a lot sooner and a longer run rate to, put monies, dollars into the ground versus paying out to vendors was the biggest motivator on that particular amendment. As far as conferences, I'm traveling 6 months of the year pretty much, but, you know, similar to Dan, you know, the guys will be on the ground very soon here. We're getting very excited about that. But we'll be in the event north in Quebec City, We'll be at Beaver Creek this year. We'll do the one-to-ones in London, New York, and Dubai is a new venue for them, as well as just some of smaller technical conferences with some of our geologists. And one thing I should also mention while we're here is we haven't talked about our two new discoveries. Well, actually, we've got half a dozen, but two of them are going to be drilled this year. These have never been, no BC Min files, never been sampled before, never been drilled before until we came along. And this is up on the Cambria ice field. So these are near old mines that were quite profitable back in the 20s and 30s. And that's the Treasure Island and our Full Contact. So both of those will see the drill bit this year. And then just further to the south, just outside the triangle near Terrace, BC, just north, is our untested porphyry drill target that we tried to get to last year, but we're unable to get there. So, but this year that's on the program list to be drilled. And that program in Terrace will be starting in around July 15th. So, you know, we've got the Sherbet discovery, and then we've got three other potential new discoveries that could also be material and company makers unto themselves.
I have time to just squeeze one more quick question in. Roger, I get calls from a lot of people. Has there been some discussion about doing a potential spinoff with Goliath?
Goliath does own a 100% owned private company called David Resources. So, you know, in the event that there is some type of transaction, so be it, you know, possible takeout, you know, we'd be looking to spin out a bunch of the, let's call it non-core, or let's say anything outside 20 kilometers area of influence of Sherbet into David Resources and continue on, and that being the next iteration of Goliath. With that, you know, we put Lucky Strike in there as well. And we do own a percentage of a private syndicate, which would also go with that that private company. So every shareholder would, you know, if that was to happen, every shareholder would receive new shares and new co on a pro rata basis, you know, depending on how many we issue and so on. And then obviously, you know, pre-funding.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. But thanks, just, I guess just at this time, you know, back to our point of we haven't seen the effects in the juniors yet. And the last thing we want to be doing is orphan another pubco out there that can't get funded and so on and so forth. So I think it's best to stay home base here for the time being, and let's just see what the, you know, 2024 brings us for 2025. And it may never happen, you know, or if someone comes along and offers us some crazy amount, some big number, then, you know, it'll be like, okay, you know, let's do it. So.
Thank you all so much for being on the show. Tom, thanks for bringing these amazing companies on board. If investors want to reach out, we will add your websites at the end. And I hope they all follow Goliath and Juggernaut for the Golden Triangle story. It looks like it's going to be an exciting year for both of you.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Callie, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. And I would just like to add one last thing for investors, that they should also check out the Crescap Precious Metals Fund. So, you know, Chief Investment Officer is Kevin Smith. Quinton is the technical advisor, and Tavi is a portfolio manager there too as well. In 29 years in this business and having been involved in starting a fund, which was called the Contrarian Resource Fund during the tech bubble, I've been through multiple mining cycles, and that became quite a large fund in Canada. Seeing them, how they run their fund, how Crescat does business. If there's somebody that's looking to own 20 or 30 of these things all at once, they're the best I have seen in the space, hands down, from a licensed professional, myself being licensed. And I would implore you to go to their website too as well, which is crescat.net. CRESNET.net. I would check out their Precious Metals Fund too as well. We're lucky we're in it. So thanks. Thanks for your time, everybody.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. InvestorIdeas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to InvestorIdeas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.